Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus. But thank you, Father. We'll give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Okay. 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Hallelujah. Okay, so we began a study around the church, amen, the ecclesia, the arm of Yahweh, of God, amen. Okay, and we said that right from Genesis 1, you find the plan of God in a germ form. Okay, when he says to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply," okay, he has an idea in his mind of a people, amen, people belonging to him in his image, who have his name, amen. Okay, and then he tells Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply," okay, "fill the earth, subdue it," okay, is looking forward to a numerous amount of people, amen. Okay, but we said that although this is God's plan for man, man has the choice, right? So either accept that plan or reject the same. And Adam and Eve in unbelief rejected that plan, amen. Okay, but God's plan is not thwarted, amen, by man's rejection. He seeks other men, hallelujah, through whom to bring his plan to pass. Okay, so we saw a man by the name Abel, right? Okay, looking for men to have fellowship with, relationship with. Okay, then Enoch. Okay, then Noah. Alright, Noah having three sons. Then God now picks one of Noah's three sons, Shem, right? Now, someone from Shem's family, a man by the name Abram. Okay, as it was then called. His name later changed to Abraham. Okay, then Abraham gives birth to Isaac. God interacts with Isaac as well. Okay, then Isaac gives birth to Jacob. Okay, God interacts with Jacob as well. Then Jacob now has a family, amen, known as the Jews, or Jacob's people, okay, the Jewish people, amen. And God as well interacts with the Jews concerning his plan. Okay, but we said that the Jews, just like Adam and Eve, chose self-autonomy, okay, self-governance over God's plan. You know, they rejected God's kingship, okay, asking for a king for themselves, which was not Yahweh's plan from the very beginning. But God is such that God accommodates man, okay? It might not be his plan, right? But he will tell man, okay, have your way. You know why? Because he didn't create robots. Hallelujah. He created men with free will. So he tells Israel, okay, have your way, have your king. Let's see how that plays out. And you know, the result was disastrous, right? Completely disastrous. You know, they lived and continued in their disobedience and rebellion against God, they and their kings. Okay, so much so that later on, Israel is divided, right? Into Israel and then Judah. Okay, and then it is captured and destroyed. Okay, so the Jews are taken from their own land in diaspora to foreign nations. Amen. Okay, then much later, God then begins to speak through his prophets of a new thing. Okay, that he seeks to accomplish. Okay, through the remnant of Israel. So he says that the remnant will come back to their own land, right? The survivors from the foreign nations, they will come back to their own land and back to their own God. But not only that, the prophets of Yahweh also speak of a new people. Okay, this people will be made of not just of Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. Okay, so you now have non-Jews in there as well. Amen. Okay, then we moved on to ask a question. We said that is Jewish heredity required to be a part of God's people. Remember that? And we said no for several reasons. First of all, God's plan of salvation precedes man, including the Jews. Okay, so if God's salvation precedes the Jews, it cannot be tied to the Jews. I mean, that's logical, right? Clear, right? Okay, we also said that man could always be saved from sin and receive righteousness, you know, even without the law given to the Jews. Okay, since the foundation of the world, you know, Hebrews 11:7 records such a man called Noah. It says, Noah became the heir of righteousness. Now, that was long before there was even an Israel. Do you see that? Okay, then thirdly, we said that right from the beginning, God has been looking for men with the right heart, not the right lineage. So God is not really concerned about what family you come from, amen? Okay, what is much more concerned is the state of your heart. Okay, and that's why God could relate with men such as Abel, amen? Men such as Enoch, Noah, amen? They are said to please God even without being Jews. Okay, so it is the circumcision of the heart, not of the flesh, that saves a man. You see, Abraham, okay, the father of the Jews, received righteousness not being circumcised. You see that? So you see, even the father of the Jews wasn't a Jew. Hallelujah. Okay, yet he received God's promise. Okay, then fourthly, we said that the concept of a remnant existed long before Israel. You know, God had dealt with certain individuals who walked before him even before there was an Israel. You know, again, we see Abel here, Enoch and Noah, okay, they come into view here. So we concluded by saying that a man becomes a part of God's family, God's people, by faith, okay, not by his lineage. A man is not disqualified because he is a non-Jew, okay, and this is why Jesus now comes as the new Israel of God to create a new thing, okay, a new people of God, whereby both Jews and Gentiles are included, okay, into the people of God. You see, John the Baptizer as well speaks about this. He warns the Jews. He tells them that be careful. Don't think you are secure simply because you are sons of Abraham. God is able to raise up children. Do you remember that? To Abraham, even from these stones. Hallelujah. And many of you see he has done that. Amen. From the Gentiles, right? He has raised up children. Hallelujah. Okay, to Abraham from the stones, no, rejected by the Jews. So Jesus comes to create a new church. He says, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Okay, that church would be the New Testament ecclesia or assembly, okay, like we said. So God has made a new people for himself apart from the Jews. Hallelujah. Okay, and then we said that what does this mean for the Jews, right? Okay, and we said that that means that since the Jews are no longer God's people, okay, all the promises, the blessings, the realities that once abounded towards them has now been transferred to a new people, okay, that new ecclesia of Jesus Christ, the God who is alive. So to become or to receive of God's promise, Israel would have to become, okay, one of these new people. Alright? So faith in Christ is required. And unless they do so, Israel remains in disobedience and remains apart from the people of God. So in the last session, we began a bit of study. We said that we want to continue along the same lines, but now much more particularly on Paul's explanation in the book of Romans. Remember that? About the destiny of the Jews. You know, what exactly, where did the Jews stand today? Okay, what is God doing with the Jews today? What is their place in God's plan today? Amen. So we focus particularly in Romans 9 to 11, where Paul makes his argument. Hallelujah. Okay, and we saw that in Romans 9, Paul makes it very clear that simply being a descendant of Abraham does not guarantee salvation. Right? You see that Abraham had other sons. Amen. Aside Isaac, but none of them received the promise. Only Isaac, the child of faith. So that is a parable. Can I see any of you follow that? Okay, that simply because you are a child of Abraham does not guarantee your security. Do you see that? It doesn't guarantee that you receive God's promise. It is by faith. Hallelujah. So the child not by faith, Ishmael, did not receive the promise. Do you see this? Okay, so that is Paul's argument in Romans 9. Okay, and also we saw a little bit, okay, we examined briefly the doctrine of the Calvinists, right? Those folks who believe that right from the foundation of the world, God has chosen those who will be saved and those who will not be saved. Amen. For some, they even say there is a number. For some, have you heard some say 144,000? Amen. Okay, which is an erroneous doctrine. Amen. You know, we saw the concepts of the election of grace. Amen. The reprobation of man and predestination. Okay, and we said that God doesn't choose those who will be saved. Remember, Jeremiah 18 gives us a parable of the potter, right? You know, the potter forms the clay. And then we said that that parable was to explain that man's actions determine his destiny, not God. Right? So if man repents, he will be saved. Remember that from that parable? Okay, and if he does otherwise, he will be destroyed. Okay, then Paul's argument ends with the Jews' problem today. You know, the Jews today are still pursuing righteousness the wrong way. Amen. You know, we call this self-righteousness, right? Okay, God has provided righteousness and they have rejected it for righteousness through their works. Okay, and because of that, they will remain in their sins until the change. Hallelujah. Okay, so now in this session we'll move on quickly to Romans chapter 10 to examine Paul's statements there concerning Israel. So are you ready now? Okay, now please turn there, Romans chapter 10. Now, like we said, Paul begins each of these three chapters, remember, with a positive statement, right, concerning Israel, and then he ends with a negative statement on their unbelief. And you see this same pattern, Romans chapter 10. Now let's see that. Look at how it begins. Romans 10:1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Okay? It says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, there are people like this today. Amen? Have you seen someone that says, "God, let me burn for you"? Amen? That is their lingo these days. He said, "God, I want to burn for you." Say, "Okay, brother, come for Bible study." He runs away. Amen. Zeal without knowledge. Now, like I used to say, zeal without knowledge is like driving on speed in the wrong direction. Okay, you are supposed to go this way. You are going this way on full speed. You know, at the end of the day, you'll be frustrated, right? Because you've channeled all your energy to the wrong way. Okay, in the wrong direction. So, same with the Jews here. The Jews are zealous for the Lord, right? But it's a misguided zeal. Okay? A misguided zeal. They are trying to serve God how He has not instructed them to. Okay? Now, look at verse 3. It explains this. It says, "For they being ignorant," underline that, okay? "Being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness," underline that, okay? "Their own righteousness, have not submitted." Do you see that? "To the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Hallelujah. Okay, so zeal without knowledge in Paul's thought is obeying the law to please God and be righteous before Him. Okay, God has made righteousness available, but you say, "No, I choose my own righteousness." You are not submitting to the righteousness of God. Do you follow that? Okay, Christ is the end of the law as a means of righteousness for everyone who believes. The word "end" means it terminates it. Okay, it brings it to a close. Alright, so that is what Jesus is to the law. You know, the book of Romans is clear on this. We are no longer under the law of Moses. Look at Romans 3:20 again. Romans 3:20. Please turn your Bible there. Romans 3:20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh," okay, flesh there will be a figure of speech for man, okay, "so no man," okay, "will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Do you see that? So the law could not justify. Look at verse 27 of that same chapter. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith." And 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that the man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Okay? You see that we cannot inherit God's promises through the law. Look at Romans 4:13. Romans 4:13. He says, for the promise that he, okay, being Abraham, would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Underline that, okay? Through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Do you see that? So they will receive God's promise not by the law, but by faith. Do you see that? Look at 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. Do you see that? Is made nothing, of no effect. Okay, and the promise made of no effect. 15 says, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. 16 says, therefore it is of faith, okay, that it might be according to grace. Hallelujah. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay, might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Underline that. Out of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay? So God gives his promises by faith so that it is certain for everyone. Okay? You do nothing but to believe. Look at Romans 6:14. Romans 6:14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Underline that, you are not under law. Okay, but under grace. So this is very clear, right? The believer is not under the law. Look at Romans 7:1. Romans 7:1. It says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. 3 says, so then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law. You see that? Underline that, okay? Become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law. Underline that. You see that? We have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have been delivered from the law by faith in Christ. Do you see that? Okay, so redemption, one of the realities redemption gave us is freedom from the law. Okay, remember I told you we're going to look at this soon. I remember when I teach you salvation, I tell you that salvation is a deliverance, right? From sin, death, and the devil. Okay, so sometime this year we'll add the fourth one, the law. Amen. You will see that clearly. Okay, Jesus rescued us from the law. You know, you are not rescued from something that is good. Amen. Okay, see Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So there is therefore now no condemnation to us in Christ Jesus. It says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Now that phrase is not original. Okay? If you have my kind of Bible, it tells you that, okay? So you can choose to remove it. Amen. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit, is not there in the original Greek manuscripts. Okay, Paul didn't write that. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. You see that? Made me free, underline that, from the law of sin and death. So we've been set free. Do you see that? From the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Then lastly, see Romans 9:31. Romans 9:31. It says, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Underline that, works of the law. So you see that throughout the book of Romans, Paul is crystal clear, right? Trying to be righteous by the law is negating the finished work of Christ. Okay, you can't have both. You can't try to be righteous by the law of Moses and then try to be righteous by the finished work of Christ. Okay, you are negating both. So you can't try to receive the promises of God by faith in Christ then by obeying the law of Moses. So the Jews needed to know this, right? They had completely rejected Christ. Now observe what he says, verse 5, Romans 10. Now you can go back there now. Romans 10, 5. He says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. Do you see that? So when it comes to the righteousness of the law, you have to do something. Okay? You have to obey to live. Do you see that? Now, he's quoting here Leviticus 18:5. Now, the Greek, as that word does here in verse 5, okay, in the aorist active participle. So, the text may be better read this way. The man having done those things shall live by them. Do you get it? The man who having done those things shall live by them. Now the aorist is a past tense, okay? So having done those things shall live by them. That is, there is no life at all. Do you see that? There is no life at all for you until you completely obey everything in the law. Do you see this? That's what Paul is saying here, okay? There is no life for you at all until you completely obey everything in the law. Now mind you, there are 613 laws. Do you know that? Do you know that? 10 commandments, 603 statutes. Okay? And if you break one, you are guilty of all. Think about that. I see someone shaking their head. So you think to yourself, so that's impossible to obey, right? Exactly. Do you get the point now? Aha. That is the point. The law was not given for you to obey. Amen? It was given to show you that you can never obey it. Do you follow that? So you can never be saved by doing anything. Only Christ can save. Hallelujah. Okay? So the Jews still trying to be righteous by the law is in deep error. Do you follow that? Only Christ can save. See what Paul says concerning righteousness by faith in verse 6, Romans 10. He says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this wise. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now remember, he had discussed righteousness by works, verse 5, right? Okay, now he proceeds to the righteousness of faith. Okay, now he says here, that do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, okay, or who will descend into the abyss. Now, what does it mean there? Okay, ascend into heaven, descend into the abyss. Now, these two phrases are metaphors describing laborious tasks. Now, he's quoting here Deuteronomy 30. Now, turn there. Verse 11. Deuteronomy 30, 11. It says, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, you see that, who will ascend into heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we should hear it and do it. Now look at this. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So Moses is speaking here, right? And interestingly, Moses said this concerning the law. Amen. Now, it was a common custom in those days for people to travel in search of knowledge. Okay? You know, for example, you have the Queen of Sheba, right? 1 Kings 10, who visited King Solomon to receive of his wisdom. You follow that? So that was a regular practice back then. Okay, they would leave their homelands and travel to foreign countries in search of wisdom, knowledge, insight. Okay? But you see here that Moses is telling them, Deuteronomy 30, okay, that they don't need to go far. That's what ascend into heaven means, okay? You see that now? Or into the depths of the sea in search of the law. It was already with them. Do you follow that? That knowledge was already with them. Now look at what Paul now does. Paul, being very smart, very skillful, okay, he now applies this to Christ. Romans 10, 6 to 7. Hallelujah. Do you see this? So you know what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying that you don't need to go through much stress to be righteous by faith. Do you follow this? Just like Deuteronomy 30, you don't need to go far, stress yourself to get the law. Do you get it? In the same way, do you see this? Okay, righteousness by faith is not hard. Now why? Verse 8 tells us, Romans 10. Please turn back there. So do you see the wisdom of the apostles in how they use the Old Testament? How many of you believe this should be studied? I mean, these guys are intelligent. Do you think so? Quite brilliant. Okay, look at Romans 8. Okay, Romans 10 verse 8. Okay, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your mouth. You see that? That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, this is why. You see that? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, it refers to this as the word of faith. That is the message through which men believe and are righteous. You know, he said this earlier, Romans 1:16. Please go there. Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Underline that, gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Underline salvation and everyone who believes, okay? For the Jew first and also for the Greek. And 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God. Underline that, okay? Righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You see that? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so this is the gospel men believe upon to be saved and receive the righteousness of God. You follow that? Then it describes it in verse 9, Romans 10. Now go back there. Verse 9, Romans 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, underline that, okay? Raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, so this is how a person, whether Jew or Gentile, is saved. Remember, God's sovereignty has removed ethnic bias from the gospel, right? So you don't have to obey any Jewish laws or be part of the Jewish lineage to become part of God's people. You see this? Only faith is required. So the way to join God's New Testament church has therefore been simplified. Do you see this? The way to join God's New Testament church has therefore been simplified. You don't need to go into the heavens. You get it now? Or into the depths of the sea. It is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. Okay? Now, this simple way, can we call it? Okay? Has made it easy for the Gentiles to be saved, right? It has made it easier for the Gentiles to be saved. But interestingly, it has now become a major stumbling block for the Jews. Amen. It has become a major stumbling block for the Jews. Now why? Because they now have to abandon their dependence on their heritage to be a part of God's people. Okay? So just like the Gentiles, they too must now put faith in Christ to be a part of his church. Amen. And some Jews don't like that. Amen. Okay? That there is now an equality between they and the Gentiles. No, they hate the Gentiles. Okay, so it doesn't sit well with them. Okay, so God's special people is no longer one race, but every man who puts faith in the gospel of Christ. Look at how Paul says it, verse 10. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so you see, simplified, right? And look at 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes, underline that, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So do you see that there is now an whoever to salvation? Come on, do you see that? Whoever believes. So it is not restricted to a select few. You follow that? Now verse 12 explains as we begin to close. Verse 12. It says, for there is no distinction. Hallelujah. Underline that. No distinction between Jew and Greek. Is this clear? Is this clear? Okay, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. You see that? So God is rich, right? He is bountiful. He is given to all who call upon him. Do you see that? Irrespective of their ethnicity, their tribe. Do you see that? Irrespective of their ethnicity and their tribe. Amen. Now that phrase, call upon, use here, it translates the Greek word epikaleo. Okay, epikaleo, that's E-P-I-K-A-L-E-O, the last O accentuated. E-P-I-K-A-L-E-O, that's a phrase called upon here. It means a cry for help. Amen? A cry for help. So whoever says, Lord, I am a sinner in need of your grace. That is it. That is it. That is it. Immediately, he receives salvation and he becomes a part of Christ's church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone like that here? Amen. Anyone like that here? Anyone who has cried out to the Lord? Okay, we are now a part of his church. Do you see this? Okay, then Paul goes on to say verse 14. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed, right? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Okay, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You see that? So the way this will happen is through evangelism. Do you see that? It's through evangelism. That is how men will call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see that? So both Jews and Gentiles would need to hear and believe upon the gospel to be saved. Okay, both. And the preacher is the one that makes this possible. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Okay. Now, Israel cannot claim that they've not heard the gospel. Verse 16 says that. Let's see that. Okay? It says, but they, the Jews, have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Actually, the Greek says the message of Christ. Okay, here. So you can change that. 18 now says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Do you see that? Do you see that? So the Jews have heard. Now he quotes a scripture. It says, their sound has gone out into all the earth. Okay? And their words to the ends of the earth. Now those are the sound and the words of the gospel. Okay? He's quoting here Psalm 19 verse 4. So Israel has heard the gospel. Do you see that? Look at verse 19. It says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Now that's Deuteronomy 32:21. The nation here refers to the Gentile nations. Okay? So God has granted salvation to them to steer the Jews also. Okay? So look at what, how God thinks. When the Jews see God's goodness to the Gentiles, right? How they received the promise of God by the gospel, then they too could believe. Do you follow that? Do you follow that? Okay, so God through the Gentiles is signifying, okay, signifying to the Jews what is also available for them. Do you see this? Okay, but sadly, only the Gentiles have majorly received the gospel. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. It says, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Okay? So those who did not seek God, the Gentiles, right? Have now been found by him. Do you see that? Do you see that? Now verse 21. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Isaiah 65 verse 2. You see that? Now the word disobedience that Paul uses here in the Greek, it translates the Greek word apitheo. Okay? Apitheo. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. Okay? Apitheo. Which literally means refusing to be persuaded. Okay? Refusing to be persuaded. To withhold belief. So, Israel's disobedience is unbelief. Do you see this? Is unbelief. That same word was used in Acts chapter 14 for the Jews. Now turn there as we begin to close gradually now. Acts 14:1. It says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. Now two, but the unbelieving Jews. You see that? That's that word there, okay? The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Okay, so while some believed, the rest were unbelieving, right? And they tried to pass their unbelief to others. You see that there? Okay, Peter also uses that same word for the Jews. 1 Peter 2. Please turn there. 1 Peter 2, 6. Okay, it says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe is precious, but to those who are disobedient, okay, you see that? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, and they, those are the Jews, okay? Stumble, being disobedient. That's that word, okay? Apatheo, being disobedient to the word. Underline that, okay? Disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. So the unbelieving Jews are called disobedient. Do you follow that? Now, this is understandable when you realize that the gospel is a message that instructs. Do you follow that? The gospel is a message that instructs. In the gospel is an instruction of faith. Do you follow that? A message is presented to the hearer, right? And the hearer is instructed to believe upon what he has been told. Do you follow that? So it's a message of instruction. That is the gospel. So a refusal to believe is therefore disobedience to God's instruction. Do you see this now? God's voice is in the gospel instructing men to believe, right? When a man says, no, I'm not going to believe, okay? He's being disobedient. Do you follow this? To God's instruction. And that is why no matter how many laws you obey, if you refuse to believe the gospel, you are still called disobedient. Do you follow this? No matter how many laws you obey, okay? Because God's instruction is in the gospel. His voice is in the gospel, okay? So those in the church are those who have obeyed the gospel. Hallelujah. Anyone like that here? Anyone like that here? So we have obeyed the voice of God in the gospel. So we are obedient children of the faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see that? So Paul again ends Romans 10 on a sad note. Do you see that? Okay. Israel has chosen to remain disobedient to the call of the gospel. Okay. And by so doing, they exclude themselves from the people of God. Is New Testament Church. Did you learn? Okay, we continue from here in the next session. Lift your hands, give him praise.